Good morning. Appreciated the song service, Brian. Last Sunday night, I mentioned we were talking about doing things in a more edifying way. And I talked about ways in which I wanted to adjust my part to make things more edifying. And some of those things were this. On Sunday mornings, I'm going to make it a point to end by 12:30, 12:35 at the latest. 11:35. I've been looking at Acts 20, verse 7. I saw Paul preach till midnight. No. What I mean, I want to be more efficient and more concise. So I want to be sure to be done by that time. If I'm not done with the material, we'll continue that to another time. I want to be more focused on my responsibility to make good use of your time and edifying. I want to put more emphasis on the text of Scripture itself. And I want to do a better job of telling you where we're going and wrapping it up with a call to action and what we can do about that information. Today, we're going to be talking about, and this is probably part of a series, relationships within the church. And we're going to begin with a textual study on the shepherds and the sheep. And here, we're not talking about Jesus as the good shepherd and all of us as sheep, but specifically with our elders, our overseers, our shepherds, and we, the congregation. There's a lot of things that can be studied about this, on the very nature of shepherds and sheep and different type of things. We're going to be talking more specifically about the role. And these are some of the passages, not all of them, but most of the passages in the New Testament where we find the roles of elders and shepherds and their relationship to the work and our relationship to them. Two of the things that we're going to emphasize in the lesson this morning is that elders have responsibilities and lead in matters both material and spiritual. Predominantly, the text will focus on their role as spiritual leaders, but it will also include roles in having to do with that which is material. So both are there. It's not one or the other. It's more one than the other, but we will see that both are there. But we will also be looking closely at Hebrews chapter 13. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, and we're going to talk about the focus of what this verse means. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. This is an important text we'll be looking at in detail, and I want us to think about where the focus of that text is, and particularly in light of Mark chapter 7. Do you remember what happens in Mark chapter 7? The elders of the Jews had made a number of unbiblical rules. And what does Jesus do? Jesus criticized that. He says, you're breaking the commandment of God and following the traditions of men. And so we're going to be talking about the difference between matters of judgment, biblical matters, the role of elders, and different things like that. You'll see as we get in the text more clearly what that is. And then a reminder at the end of our role as the flock, and our shepherd's roles as shepherds. So, we're going to be looking at the biblical text and focusing on the biblical focus. This is what I want you to think about this morning. There are biblical texts which will have tangents and have things included in them, but it's helpful for us to remember what the focus of that text is, lest we become imbalanced. The problem of the Pharisees, besides pride and hypocrisy, was hugely one of imbalance. And so we want to look where the focus is. And I want to illustrate that in two ways. with some literal illustrations, and then with a couple of passages of Scripture. First off, with some literal illustrations. What are the focus points in those three pictures? The first one's pretty easy. Just look at that for a second. What would you say the focal point is? I imagine everybody's attention is drawn to those flowers. It's not the only important thing in the picture. The person wouldn't have taken this picture of those flowers if it had been in a bed of other similar flowers, in somebody's flower bed or something. The background is very important because those flowers stand out against the background. So the background is important, but rock number 32 there is not the focus of the picture, right? You can see what the focus is. So lesson from that, there will be things in a text that may not be the focus of the text, but let's keep in mind what the focus is. Number two, the Mona Lisa. The focus is certainly not the road to her right shoulder or the bridge to her left shoulder. The focus is pretty clearly, this one's easy, on the Mona Lisa. Now, the Arnold Fini portrait by Jan van Eyck in 1434. Some of you will know this picture. This one's a little more interesting. What is the focal point of that picture? Just think about it for a minute. What are you drawn to? What's the focus? There's a bunch of interesting things going on in here and a lot of detail that's there with purpose, but it's not the primary thing. Now, if you have focused on the oranges, that is not the focal point. How many of you focused on the oranges? Nobody. But they're important. They're there for a purpose, no doubt. This is a Northern European painting. How do you get fresh oranges to Northern Europe? That's right. Money. There's a lot of things in this picture that show these are wealthy people. There's green leaves outside, and yet they're dressed in fur, which is there's a lot of statements here about wealth. So the details are there, but that is not the focal point. Now, you might think, well, the focal point is she's pregnant. Anybody here focus on that? She's not pregnant. You look up art historians, you study this picture, she's not pregnant. There's other paintings from this era. And women, expensive clothing had lots of ruffles and pleats, and you had expensive things under it. And there's other paintings too where the woman is gathering up this big thing of expensive cloth. And if you look where she's, that's not a pregnant belly there. She is pulling up all of this cloth. That's not the focus. The couple are the focus. But there's another focus point here. What's right between them? Did anybody focus on that mirror in the back? The mirror, and this shows the artist's skill, the mirror has them again. You see the reverse of them. And who's back here? There's a selfie. The painter has put himself there, and I don't know if you noticed the writing on the wall, but in very fancy Latin, it says, Jan van Eyck was here, 1434. So there's a lot of interesting things to focus on in this. Points I want to get from this is that you will have some things that are in a text. Yes, that's there, but it's not necessarily the main point. And it's helpful for us to remember what the main point is while also noticing what else is there. Case in point, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, what, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God? If you're hungry, eat at home. When we built this building, the contractors wanted to build a fellowship hall, a family life center. They said, well, you need that. We said, well, no, that we're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to come together and worship and meet and we're going to sing, take the Lord's Supper, things like that. We're not doing that. A lot of churches do that. Now, is 1 Corinthians 11 written to say don't build a fellowship hall? No. What's the focus of 1 Corinthians 11? They were abusing the Lord's Supper. And he says, when you come to, you need to be focusing on the Lord's Supper. If you're hungry, eat at home. Jesus said, do this in memory. If you're not focusing on his body and blood, you're judging yourself. Do this as a memorial. If you're hungry, eat at home. That's the focus. Do we learn something from that? Well, yes, we do. Did Paul seem to think that one of the purposes of the church was to come together for the church potluck? No, because if that's his focus, he would have said what? Listen, if you're hungry, save that for the church potluck coming up in the fellowship hall. That's not what he said either. But the focus of the text is not that later innovation or that later disagreement with the innovation. The focus is here. Philippians 4:9. Look at Philippians 4:9. Do this quickly. Paul says, the things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. This text has been used to say we should practice and teach the doctrines that Paul practiced. So if Paul said you do the Lord's Supper this way, you do the Lord's Supper that way. If Paul says you spend the money this way, you spend the money that way. Because he said, the things that you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. Well, that will be included, but I don't believe that's the focus. You know what I think the focus is? Where's Paul? He's a prisoner. Why is this letter written? Because the Philippians have written to him, wanting to support him and help him. He's received it. He said, thank you. And he's letting them know, chapter one, hey, I'm okay. Things are going good. It's helping with the gospel. If they kill me, I'll get to go be with the Lord. Things are okay. He's got a good attitude about it. And look at this, the things you saw and heard in me, look at it back in chapter 1. After talking about his chains, after talking about his problems, after talking about the fact that they might kill me, he said at the end of chapter 1, to you it has been granted in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer in his behalf. Now look at it in verse 30. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. When he was there, what suffering did they see? You remember the arrest, the being beaten with rods, the being put in prison? See, they saw him suffer, and now they have heard what? They have heard him suffer. Chapter 1, he goes through and he looks at the spiritual things and the things of value and what's eternal in the progress of the gospel. Then chapter 4, he says, don't be anxious. And he said in verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there's any virtue, think on these things. What might you thought Paul had been thinking about while in prison? Oh, why do I have to be a prisoner? Oh, but that's not what he's thinking about. He's thinking about what? The souls of the guards, the spread of the gospel. He says, you think like this too. So verse 9, the things that you learned and received, and that would include doctrines he taught them, and heard and saw in me, these things do. I think forefront here is the way that he's handling this suffering. It will include the other things. Certainly, 1 Corinthians 11, he's saying, remember what I taught you about the Lord's Supper. But that's, I don't believe, the primary focus. With that in mind, let's start looking. We're going to not have time to look at all three of these. We'll look at one or two of these today. So these texts here, Acts 11, Acts 20, and Hebrews 13. We're going to start with Acts 11. This is where we see the elders leading in taking care of some financial issue here. Acts 11:27, beginning. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. Okay, the focus in that text is what? There's the need. The prophet has let them know about this. These Gentile brethren are going to share with the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And they did so, sending it to who? to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now, it doesn't go into a great deal of detail about that, but why is it mentioned? Well, this is a lot of money. It should be delivered to somebody in charge. It should be delivered to somebody with integrity, with wisdom, those that were leading. And so the money was not just taken and, hey, here's the money. Where did they take it? To the elders, to the leaders. Now, what all they did with it, we don't know. We know early that the apostles, in Acts 4, people came and laid the things at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to according as any had need. It could be that the elders here themselves are taking time to go through and say, that brother has this need. This sister has this need. This brother has that need. And if they are doing that, which they may be doing, is that going to require judgment? Is that going to require decisions? Who would you want to entrust that to? Someone with integrity. Leaders that are trusted to do that. Now, it may be, and the text doesn't tell us here, that then they, being leading in receiving it, turn it over to some deacons to distribute. What did the apostles do in Acts chapter 6 when the number of widows was getting what? The number of disciples was multiplying, and so the number of widows was multiplying, and that meant there were more and more. Well, it was getting too big to handle well, and so what did the apostles do when there was some discussion, this isn't being handled well? The apostles said, we need to be busy doing spiritual things, so appoint these 7 men to deacon the tables, and they will oversee that. Then they told the congregation, you select the men, and we will appoint the men. The congregation selected them, they appointed them, and those men saw over the actual matter of distribution. So whether the elders here make all the decisions themselves, or whether they entrust it to some church servants to take care of that, this text doesn't go on to say, but we know who it's entrusted to originally. Who are the finances entrusted to? To the elders. So we see elders involved not just as leaders spiritually, but in that which is material, which is financial, which is physical. And is that, of course, going to involve at various times matters of judgment, matters of decision? Of course, by nature, it's certainly going to involve things like that. However, when we look at the other passages, is that the role that we usually see the elders in? It is a biblical role and it's an important role, but is it the primary role of elders in the New Testament? In Acts 15, we see them with the apostles repudiating the Judaizers and instructing in morals. In Acts 20, what are they told to do? Take heed to themselves and to all the flock. Feed the church, be on the alert. In 1 Timothy 3, they are to take care of the church, and they are to be apt to teach. In Titus 1, they are to give instruction in sound doctrine. They are to rebuke those who contradict. In Hebrews, they are keeping watch over your souls. So I want to be very clear. Is it right and biblical for elders to be involved in the financial goings-on of the church? Is that going to involve decisions and judgment at various times? Yes, amen. Is that the primary reason that the Lord wants elders in the church and shepherds over our souls? No, because it doesn't say watch over their wallets. It's watch over their souls. So both are there. Yes, contributions turned over to the elders in Acts 14. Yes, they're generally seen in this teaching, moral, correcting, watching over souls role. Now, look at Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17. This is the one where it says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Now, we need to respect our shepherds in many ways. And let me, for instance, this may be helpful. Every once in a while, someone, well, in the community, people do it a lot. And sometimes, brethren from elsewhere, different things, or somebody will call me a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. Jonathan's an evangelist. Jonathan Biesecker is about to go work in Florida as an evangelist. Matt's also working as an evangelist. We're not the shepherds here. The shepherds are Wilson and Craig and Don and Kevin. Those are the men that we have asked to and entrusted as our leaders to be shepherds over this flock here. I have gone to the elders as a group when I've had a problem and I wanted correction and guidance from them as a group. I've gone to one of them as an individual when I wanted help on a more personal item and such. We should all be doing that when we need that. They are our shepherds. I've gone to them and like recommended something, and then they've said, well, and they presented things I hadn't thought about or didn't know about, and I realized, oh, I respect your judgment there. That's very important. We need to respect that of our elders. However, what about the idea of this? It's the elders' job to make decisions on matters of judgment. Think about that. Now, I believe that the elders will need to make some decisions on matters of judgment. But my question is this. Is that the focus of Hebrews 13? And you'll see why it's important in a minute. But look at this statement. It's the elders' job to make decisions on matters of judgment. When to meet, who to have preach, how to spend the money, where to send the money, which songbook to use, what to wear at the Lord's table, etc., etc., etc. The church's job is to obey such decisions because Hebrews 13 says, obey your leaders. What do you think about that? Now, I believe, and we're going to state this again, we need to respect guidance and leadership from our elders, and that's going to involve finances, and it's going to involve matters of judgment and different things like that. My question is that the focus of Hebrews 13? I don't believe it is. Let me show you why. Look back at Hebrews 13. Look at verse 7. There's another verse before verse 17 that says almost the same thing. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the, what does it say? Word of God. I'm going to read that again. Focus on this text and focus on the focus of this text. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What is the focus of that text? Is that about which carpet is chosen for the building, whether or not to put in a new air conditioner system? Whether No. That's not what it's talking about. This is talking about they spoke the word of God, you follow it. Now, this says leaders. It doesn't say elders, it doesn't say shepherds, and it may include other people as well. It could include apostles that had been there and such. Some translations have even, remember those who had, making it past tense. But it would include shepherds, and if it included also apostles or prophets and such that had worked with them, fine. But it would this type of responsibility would include to elders as well, and I think we'll see particularly the role of elders seen in verse 17, because it says they watch over, which is similar to see over. But in this one, it's talking about they spoke to you the word of God. I want you to consider this for a minute. In the first century, did they have New Testaments? No. What did they have? They had prophets and such, and they had apostles, and each congregation had what? Shepherds that fed the flock. So the focus of this text is what? Remember your leaders that spoke to you the word of God. Now look at verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over the treasury. No. Now, have we seen them being responsible for the treasury? Yes, we saw that in a different passage where that was the focus of that passage. Is that the focus of this passage? It may have peripheral implications, but I want us to focus on the focus of this text. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over the church building. Is that what it said? Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who shall give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Is the role of elders limited to what happens in this church building? Absolutely not. A lot of the work that our shepherds do is dealing with people's issues and problems and challenges that have to do with what's going on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday and Thursday, in their home, at work, in their marriages and such. There is a great deal of shepherding that is about what is going on outside of this building. Shepherds have to do a lot. Do they also need to concern themselves with the finances? Yes, they do. Do they have a role as leaders in that? Yes, they do. Should we respect their judgment and leadership? Yes, we should. But here's why this text is important. A couple of counties over, there's a lot of Amish bishops. And you know what those bishops do? They have rules for their people. Are those rules found in the Bible? Some of the rules, you know. But if you've been over there and you've seen the ones that they can have a bike but not pedals? Have you been over to toward Shippensburg and some of them are allowed to have tractors, Old Order Mennonites, but not rubber on the tires? Some are allowed. What's the general principle? They believe in being separate. Does the Bible teach separateness? 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among them and be separate. Is this an example of overseers, bishops, taking, there's the biblical principle, and now we are going to make the rules of how separate you need to be? Is that the biblical model here? Now, elders are going to make decisions. We need to respect the leadership of our elders. But there is a point there that has changed. Because now we come back to Mark 7. People come to Jesus and they said, hey, you're not obeying. Did they say the scripture? No. They said, you're not obeying the tradition of the elders. And what was Jesus' response? You're breaking the commandment of God and keeping the traditions of men. Now, here's a question for you. What was wrong with their... Did they start with the biblical principle? Yeah, there were some Old Testament laws about cleanliness. What was wrong with what the Pharisees were doing there? Was it A, they were going beyond the Word of God and actually teaching people to break the Word of God, like with the Corban things, and enforcing their own rules instead of the Word of God? Was that the issue? Or was the issue, oh, well, these weren't elders in the New Testament church? In other words, if our elders here said, when you come from the marketplace, you have to wash, you have to do, if our elders here made the same rules, should we follow those rules? Right now. Because Jesus addressed that in Mark chapter 7. So where does this fall? That falls into that decisions and guidance and stuff, even that our elders make, that doesn't make it the Word of God. We, as you're about to see, have an obligation to respect their leadership, but to use this passage to say that this is about us obeying things not biblical is not the focus of this text. When the money was turned over to the elders in Acts 11, should people have said, hey, I'm not down with that. I don't like what they're going to do. No. What should they have done? Appreciated and respected the fact that they're doing this work and respect the decisions that they make with that and support that. But that's not the point of this text. Let Acts 11 show elders have leadership in financial matters. This passage is not focused on that. This is, remember your leaders that spoke to you the word of God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls. That's the focus. Now, there's plenty of reasons why we should respect the guidance and decisions of our elders. A, they're our shepherds and they've earned our respect. Did we look at the qualifications? Did we ask them to shepherd us? Yes. Is that going to include financial and judgment things and such? You know, decisions that need to be made? Yes. B, B's missing. I got the numbering wrong. Are we to be humble and not selfish? Yes. 1 Peter 5, ye younger, be in subjection to the elder, both elders in context, and then there's a general thing there. In Philippians 2, not looking each of you to his own things. D should have been C. Is it wise to follow the wise? Yes. You know, Proverbs is full of that. And E, elders functioned as leaders in matters both spiritual and material. So, for instance, I think it's good when our elders here ask for input, like on the cleaning decision thing. Our elders ask for input. I appreciate that. And we give input. And when they make, you know, as they make a final decision, I want to support their final decision. If they say, okay, we've had input and this is the way we're going to go, I respect that and you should respect that and we'll follow with that. If they'd said, this is the way we'll go, then again, respect the leadership of our elders. When we got new chairs, I wasn't particularly wanting new chairs, but now that we've got them, I'm glad we do. But they asked for input, how many to replace. They took input, and they made a decision, and they did that. I appreciate both the input, and it's if every one of us says, no, I want it this way, I want it that way, you know what? That gets disorderly, disrespectful, selfish, bickering, and that type of thing. It's very helpful to have people lead us in that. But because of 1 Peter 5, where Peter said, don't lord it over, be an example. Because of Matthew 20, where Jesus said, you know how Gentiles have people that lord it over them. Boom, 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 boom. He said, that's not how it's going to be among you. Mark 7. When the Pharisees are saying, here's a rule, 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 Jesus says, that's traditions of men. So that's why it's important. So let's end with this. To the flock, let's respect our elders. Let's realize that they have leadership, not just in spiritual matters, but also like in financial matters. And let's respect the fact that we've asked them to lead us because of their wisdom and character. Let's respect that. And elders, continue also listening to the flock that you lead and getting input from the flock that you lead and guiding us. Yes, sometimes needing to make decisions in other areas, but remembering that the main role of their leadership is watching over our souls that I need and you need. Both roles are there. One is the more predominant role in the New Testament. Let's appreciate our elders in that. And this afternoon, you have an opportunity to meet with them and hear and listen and discuss and those type of things. Thank you very much for your attention. If you need to respond, won't you do so as we stand and sing.